The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game. VSiN, of course, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. And, of course, the DraftKings Network, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Anthony Edwards will show up within minutes, I'm sure.
Hey!
Guy McKeon on College Hoops today. JVT on the NBA. Paul Carr on the Champions League. Looking forward to that. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing well. Now you just got me started, though, on Ant. How does that happen?
Hey, you lose track of time, Kelly.
How does that happen? Like, wait, I don't think I saw a full detailed story besides he was, like, there warming up and somehow screwed it up.
It's also one of these jokes that might not age well if you find out something's really amiss, you know, right? So you have to...
I didn't get the sense it was any of that, though.
I didn't either.
Last night, though.
I didn't either at all.
Just like, the brief story I read was that he was there. Like, somehow was there at the arena doing separate, like, warm-up workout stuff.
Well, which he always does, but then he just lost track
of
time.
Right, and then lost track of time.
Hey, the game started.
It's just like, I don't know how many arenas you've been in for a game. You typically hear the PA announcer or something like that. Like, it's very... You could be standing in line for nachos. I know a game's about to start.
True that. T-Wolves beat the Blazers last night, despite that snafu to begin the game. Okay, want to get to the Russell Wilson stuff, but before we do this, can I just mention something that just happened to me as I walk in here? Yeah. So my final year of music radio, I used to do this segment called, it was like my final year, it was like the Johnny Unitas San Diego Chargers year of music radio, the Joe Namath Rams year. The Vlad Guerrero Orioles. I'm sorry. Immaculate grid has just broken out here. So the, and we used to do this segment called Not Enough Is Made Of. It was a very Seinfeldian thing where it's just like little things in life that you don't like really voice.
Not enough is made of this.
Right. Not enough is made of. And it was like little things like, I'm just trying to give you examples. If it's you and one other person in an elevator and that person doesn't know proper spacing and you're trapped in a corner and they're like
totally,
remarkably close to you, like what's going on here?
How about this weather?
Yeah, the you know, if you're close enough to someone, you hold the door for them. If you're far enough, you don't. But what's that no man's land in between?
Totally. That's a great one.
It's a tough
one. That's a great one.
Pronounced arm swings, for instance, Kelly Bidlin.
Yeah. What is the amount of arm swing that's okay?
Yeah. So just now, I think I ran into one that is.
These are all great. Buddy.
As I get older, this one annoys me. I think more and more to the point that it's now very close to the top of my annoyance rankings.
I think I've got one now for you, too.
Okay, you got one? You know where I'm going with this?
No, I don't know where you're going with it.
Okay. Think of our route to this beautiful bar, Canada, here at the D. Las Vegas. The person, you ready for this? The person who takes one step off an escalator, either up or down, and plants themselves right there and decides that's the proper place to either have a conversation or check their phone. And you're the person behind them.
You mean like where we're still on the metal contraption of the escalator? You know how you have the metal landing area and then
Correct.
You can walk off?
They're still on the metal landing area.
I don't feel like I've seen that
Oh, often. Dude. I feel like you should
I mean,
be given...
People in Vegas stopping in their tracks terrible spots is just a overall terrible theme of this city.
I feel like doing two things.
The escalator hasn't happened to me that many
times. I feel like doing two things. One... I think you get a free charge into that. I think it's a blocking foul no matter what, and I think you get to do that.
I was going
to
say, it might happen less to me because I'm a larger man coming down that escalator. You might want to get out of the way.
And two, I do want to say that. I was like, I'm sorry, is this your first trip on an escalator?
Dude, seriously.
Anyway, that just happened.
Mine, I would say real quick, is just the people that have conversations, watch videos, listen to music on speaker on their phone.
Oh, that's a big
walking
one.
Around anywhere in public.
That's a common one.
Like, do you have any respect for anybody around you? And then sometimes I'm just like blown away at the privacy of the conversations. I'll be like, hey, like, where are you at right now? What are you doing tonight? What's your bank account number? It's like, what are you doing?
If you're sharing an enclosed space like a bus or an Uber and someone does that, oh my God. Yeah, that's terrible. But the escalator one, it's moving up on my power rankings. Says, just get out of the way. Why there?
Yeah, that is just silly.
Russell Wilson, let's start there. Because of all the things happening in North American sports yesterday, this is one that there's a possible bet here. I think that if this were available here in Nevada, I would actually make a bet on this. Russell Wilson's next team. Before we get to that, let's just review the Russell Wilson timeline or what's going on, just the basic facts of Russell Wilson in what was really the least kept secret of all yesterday when it finally came down that the Broncos informed the 9-time Pro Bowl quarterback that they plan to release him, a move that ends his 2 years in Denver. Quote, we spoke with Russell to inform him of his release after the start of the league year, March 13th, next week. Coach Sean Payton and general manager George Patton sent a joint statement. So the Broncos, they still got to pay Wilson $39 million this year. And if you combine everything, the Broncos will have $85 million in dead money. $17 million from his base, $38 million from roster bonuses, $30 million from the signing bonus if you're a salary cap nerd and you don't want the breakdown. So, by the way, the $85 million in dead money, 35.4 this year, 49.6 probably next year when they manipulate it. So, that contract ends up being not only historically bad, but the $85 million in dead money is the most in NFL history, more than the next two combined. Yeah. Matt Ryan, 40.525 with the Falcons, and Aaron Rodgers, 40.313 with the Packers. Good God. And remember the trade with the Seahawks. The Broncos, this is Patton, dealt a first, second, and fifth round draft pick plus three players to get Wilson, then giving him the $242 million contract. And in return, he got 2 years of Russell Wilson, a combined win-loss record of 11-19, and that $85 million in dead cap. Some of us, by the way, bet some things when Russell Wilson went to the Broncos. Not quite Talia Tagovailoa bad in terms of bets, but some of our worst historical bets ever.
Yeah, the trade itself is just interesting to look back on now because, I mean, we all knew it was a lot at the time. Like, it was a lot.
It was a lot. No, it was a lot. At the time, it was a lot still.
Yes. But I'm not going to sit here and say that I wasn't in the camp of, well, Russell Wilson's a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, this is a lot to give up, and you're gambling on a guy who's getting up there in age a little bit. But to me, this is a guy who's still a Super Bowl quarterback.
You know who deserves a shout? Joe Pita. Joe Pita came on this show and said a few things where he got nothing but incoming.
Yeah,
he was right about everything.
Yep.
Sorry, Fez. That's you I'm talking about. Pita was right about everything. He was right about, and the main thing he was right about was that Wilson was already shot.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through it piece by piece. So let's just go through the 2 years again. Season one with Russell Wilson, that was the year that Nathaniel Hackett got fired. And then this past year, remember they start out the season, this was Sean Payton now, after Sean Payton said such lovely things about Hackett during the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
Came in.
Just, and Russ.
Just, yeah. You know, Sherman's army just burning everything. They start out 1-5, including that loss to the Dolphins where they gave up 70. Then they won 5 in a row. Remember that?
Yep.
To go 6-5. And then they lost 4 of their last 6, and they finish 8-9. But remember, with 2 weeks left in the season, the biggest thing was Wilson said that back during the Week 9 bye with the Broncos when they were 3-5, Wilson said the team first contacted his agent to adjust a $37 million injury guarantee in his contract. And Wilson later said he was told if he didn't agree to adjust to that guarantee, he'd be benched. No adjustment was agreed to. Wilson kept playing. Awkward. And then the Broncos season ensued. But, I mean, that's what he was playing under. And then remember the game against Detroit in December where Sean Payton went crazy on the referee and then turned his screaming directly to Wilson. Russell Wilson, just, you know, one of his generation's great quarterbacks, screaming at him at the top of his lungs. And I believe Wilson could be heard to have said, I'm sorry, Scab, you only won one Super Bowl. Relax. Maybe not. That might be my words. Through it all, it should be remaining. This doesn't appear in any of these articles. Sierra remains spectacular.
Sure, man. He also didn't have that bad of a season last year.
Statistically, so, not.
Yeah, statistically not.
Yeah. Well, because he had that 5-game stretch in the middle where all they did was win games. So he was
26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions,
I mean, but here's the thing.
Yards.
He's a middling NFL quarterback,
absolutely,
right?
Of course,
at
yeah.
this point in yeah. his career. What might be his next team? You can bet these at DraftKings.
Off the board right
off
now.
Off the board yeah. currently.
This is what we had last
when
week.
When last it appeared, let me be clear, the Steelers were minus 225. Some of the scuttlebutt out of the combine, out of the NFL combination, was that the Steelers are going to run it back with Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
So I would never bet minus 225 on the Steelers. The Raiders are plus 550. The Broncos, I don't know why they're on the list there. 6-1. That was before.
Well, this, again, yeah, this was before they got cut.
Falcons are 6-1. Remember, they're the Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins associated team most often. Patriots are plus 850. Vikings, Commanders, Titans, 10-1, 20-1, 31 respectively. If I were in a place where this was available, and if these were the odds, it's a lot of ifs, I'd be very curious to know, let's put it back, when this is posted again, what is going to be the price on the Raiders? Because if it's anywhere...
very short.
Oh, it's not going to be anywhere close to plus 550, yeah. You think? You don't think the Steelers will still remain the prohibitive favorite?
No, I think they probably will, but this is, you know, like all these quarterbacks, I guess, outside of Kirk Cousins, all the, you know, Fields and Russell Wilson, like they've all taken their turn being like massive favorites to go to the Steelers. So, I mean, Steelers, Raiders, Falcons will be the three short shots.
Okay. Well, if the Raiders, let's just say the Raiders get cut in half.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah. That's right. Probably around.
So let's say it's plus 275. Yeah. I'd bet that.
Okay.
Because when he was in Seattle and he knew things were amiss,
yeah, he brought up,
he
the Raiders,
said
right?
that would
yeah.
be a destination for him, one of his desired destinations.
I think it's a really good possibility. Because, like, the Falcons at this point almost sound like it's Fields or Cousins. They're going to be laying one of those two. And then what do the Steelers do? I mean, we've heard the Kenny Pickett stuff.
I mean, Raiders might try to trade up for, you know, better draft pick, but that's tough. I think that's where he might end up. Raiders plus 275. Oh, if only we had legalized sports betting here in Nevada. We'll come back. NBA talk on the other side. JVT as well. It's a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Baseball is back, and what better way to hit off the grapefruit and cactus leagues than with VSiN's free MLB betting primer. This primer will tell you how to bet on spring training and continue all season long with our VSiN experts. World Series futures analysis. Our free MLB betting primer has basic baseball betting advice for those new to betting MLB, plus a breakdown on how to use sabermetrics for more data-driven bettors to make this your best season yet. Bet the MLB smarter this year. Download the free MLB betting primer now for free at VSiN.com/guide. That's VSIN.com/guide. Skill Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. The escalator thing seems to have struck a nerve with people.
I just can't believe it's happened to you that many times.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, not all the time, but like frequently enough that you remember it
yeah.
as a thing.
Yeah. Oh, I would remember that. That would, I mean, it's a massive Vegas problem for people that live here. I'm not going to, I never blame anybody for this because I get it. Tourists are in town. You do a lot of I want to walk around the casino all slowly and check everything out. And hey, honey, look at that. Look at this. But it's like we're trying to walk somewhere. Like I know I'm going to this restaurant. Yeah. I'm going to walk this way. And it's like people just stop dead in their tracks.
Well, we're all absent-minded at different yeah. times. None of us are immune to that. But to be so absent-minded that when you take that last step off yeah, the escalator, you decide
worse.
To plant yourself there
that's
is such
worse.
A blatant just, you know, divorce from your mind.
Quite a power move, actually.
Again, I think it should be a court of public opinion, you know, blocking foul no matter what. You just charge into the person.
I think you should do it the opposite way would be the power move. Going up, just stop at the top there so people just, like, have to walk.
Oh, they do that sometimes.
You're like, excuse me, sir, excuse me.
Richard Palma, how about when you're in an elevator, the door opens to your floor. Oh, yeah, this one's great. People waiting for the elevator outside barge in before letting you out. Another deserving charge
God,
or
yeah.
a block.
Yeah, that's a great one. That drives me
I can
me
remember
insane.
My mother teaching me that when yeah. I was a little kid. Like, let the people off first.
It's one of those. I did that like 2 weeks ago and felt so bad about it afterward. Like I did, you're running around. I'm doing a million different things. Like yeah. it was on my phone.
Well, if you say I'm so sorry, like then it's fine.
So that's I was on my phone. The guy was like, the door had opened. The guy was already halfway out. And we kind of just walked by each other in the entrance. But that was like, I didn't even say sorry to him. And the door closed. I'm like, what did I just do?
No, you're
like,
horrible.
Yeah, I'm a horrible.
You're
person.
A horrible human.
Horrible
being.
Human being.
Trip Tepper. Here's one. The guy who blatantly crowds your personal space in the grocery store checkout line. Bro, can you give me some breathing room here?
Yeah, been there, done that.
Danny, pocket underscore 10. An APR, annoyance power ranking akin to yours. The horizontal people movers like in an airport. The rule is stand right, walk left. I cannot take it when somebody's just standing right in the middle. Roger Jones, I don't understand this one.
Oh, the people movers. Yeah. Roger. That's the same sort of thing.
Yeah. As far as Wilson goes, he says, let's ride. And for me, Gil, people who do not know how to turn left are high on the Peeve power rank. Yeah, I don't even understand that one.
That was the one that caught me and Gil the most off guard during the break. What?
Do people have trouble turning left? Chris Hartman, Gil, people who charge into the elevator on the lobby floor like there's zero chance anyone could possibly be getting off should be open game for a hip check. There's another vote for
that one. That's a common one. That is a common problem.
Pounder, Gil, I'm having difficulty tweeting this to you, Gil. People keep bumping into me at the top of the escalator. The Better Life, Tim Lawson, adding on to the escalator fury. No,
yours is at the bottom of the escalator, right?
Like, well, it could be at the top, too, but it's typically at the bottom.
The bottom's a bigger problem because you don't have anywhere to go. Like, it is like, hey, this ride is ending, like, right here.
Right, you don't have anywhere to go
theoretically,
in either case.
I guess you could kind of,
no,
you know.
No, it's inconvenient no matter what. Tim Lawson. The Better Life, adding on to the escalator fury. As you know, Gil, in D.C., if you stand on the left side of the escalator, you can get shanked by someone behind you, and you'll be to blame. Stand on the right, walk on the left. All right, we can go on. This is going to go on all show with these, clearly. We'll get to the rest of these, I promise.
We're just trying to fix society, man.
Just trying to. So not enough is made of these things. That's what we're here for.
It's really not. Everybody thinks about them. Like, that. The elevator one is such a good. Like, that is definitely. That is something that I run into once every 2 weeks.
You want a couple more? Grissom, the airport is the worst. People will seamlessly be moving along until someone abruptly stops in the middle of the terminal. Common practice needs to be to move to the outside if you need to stop or else get run over.
Yeah,
don't get me started on elevator etiquette.
See what you're talking about right there. That's Vegas 10X that. Everywhere in Vegas.
Cowboys underscore Cubs 1, circling this back to Russell Wilson. He goes, not enough is being made of this. Russell Wilson and Dan Quinn have a history making a reunion in the DMV so perfect. Can't wait for the rich man's Herschel Walker new catchphrase after signing a multi-billion dollar deal with the WTFs. Les commode, he says. He's just messing with me. No, please no. They got the number two pick, for God's sake.
Please no.
Please no. Okay, I finally did bite on Shea Gilgeous at plus 240.
Yeah, and he rewarded you last night with very blah game.
How many score last night? Did he get 30?
No. I think it was like 20. I don't even know if he had 20.
He saw me make the bet.
Yeah, he saw you make the bet.
By the way, so Shea now, 46 of 61 games where he has scored 30 or more.
20.7 rebounds. Four steals. Leads the NBA in steals.
Oh, I'm glad you brought up steals.
Leads the NBA in steals.
I'm going to do this every day. I am going to beat this horse. You ready?
So terrible. We're going back to Wemby.
That's a terrible expression, by the way.
Blocks and steals. How many does Wemby have, Gil?
All right. Listen, I'm just going to give you facts, and then you can. This is all because no one is even willing to have the conversation that Rudy Gobert is not the defensive player of the year. All right. This is from StatMuse. First of all, let me just say this. Wemby has played 1,579 minutes this year. Gobert has played 2,027. So 30% more he's been on the court, Rudy Gobert. Wembanyama, 72 steals, Gobert, 35. Wemby, 186 blocks, Gobert, 128. Wemby's defensive rating, 107.4, Gobert's 104.0. I'm sorry, who did you say the defensive player of the year is? Oh, let's do it one more time. Let me do it another way. This makes me angry. While the Spurs rank 24th in defensive rating, 117.3. Their defensive rating improves to 112.1 with Wembanyama on the court, which would rank them sixth, Kelly, in the NBA. So basically, people are docking him for when he's not even on the court. Meanwhile, when he sits, they have the equivalent of the league's worst defensive rating, 120.0. It should be noted that Gobert, on the other hand, four Timberwolves, including Gobert, in the top 20 of defensive rating. What a ridiculous thing that he's that people aren't even willing to have the conversation. Wembanyama is so clearly the defensive player of the year. And by the way, the award is defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
But everybody wants to make it a team award.
Yeah. It's always factored in. I get your point.
Kelly, there's not a point. They're the sixth best defensive team in the league when he's on the court. They're last when he's off it.
Yeah.
He's getting blamed for that.
Is he getting blamed? I don't know if he's getting blamed.
In the market, he's getting. Let's put it this way: sports bettors won't even have a conversation about it.
I, it's just we've had multiple conversations about it. The stats are overwhelming.
Because I forced people.
If he wins the award, like it will only be shocking because nobody's ever really won the award on that bad of a overall defensive team. That's the only reason it'd be shocking. But the stats are out of this world. If there were ever a time for this trend to be broken of who wins this type of award, it would be this year. I'll give you that for sure.
There it is in black and white. I just said it.
I mean, it also MVP, you can't have that conversation either. Like MVP, it always the team performance always matters. Rookie of the year, it rarely does.
I was just making the point because this one specifically, right? Gobert was such an overwhelmingly prohibitive favorite.
It's coming down.
And here's, I said yesterday, oh, all of a sudden, Victor Wembanyama just 7-1 now, right? I'm just saying, this was the one everybody would talk about every other award. No one was even willing to talk about this market, Kelly.
I mean, well, I think from my perspective, this is I'm avoiding it all. I'm Rudy Gobert. He's awesome what he's done with team defenses and what he's helped anchor defenses for years between Minnesota and Utah has been absolutely incredible. So I get why he's the favorite, and I get because the team defense is so good, I get why he's the favorite, but like...
You know who should win this award? Spencer Strider. That's who should win this award. This is kind of...
I mean, it will I'm not going to be angry. If Wembanyama somehow wins this award, I'm not going to be angry, but it does just bucks the trend of what we've seen in this award.
It's going to be a winning ticket for me, and I'm still going to be angry at everybody because I'm like, shame on all of you who don't even have this conversation about it. By the way, I hijacked
the one that gets way more, you know who gets just as, I mean, JVT is coming up next. Yeah. He gets just as angry and another award over something.
Oh, let's do that.
And that would be most improved.
Okay, let's get to that.
Which is the only knock on that one, or the only knock on Jalen Williams would be what we always say about this award is that, well, you're in your second year. And we usually think it takes longer than the second year player to win most improved player because you need to be in the league longer to have improved.
Oh, God. We're like such arbitrary reasoning for everything.
Oh, this one sets JVT off. Lead him into that one. He goes nuts
about
this.
I hijacked the entire segment with the Wembanyama
thing. That's good. We'll wrap up the other ones later.
All right, JVT on most improved player.
Yeah, we'll hit that with him. I made a bet in six-man.
His plays in the NBA. You made a bet in the six-man.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll get to that.
You did. It was bubbling under yesterday, and you finally made it.
Yeah, finally did. Okay. It's one of those, the favorite, I don't understand why he's as big of a favorite as he is.
Not enough is made of. The tweets continue. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember, though, to use promo code ANG.
ANG, like a numbers game, the fine, fine, fine program you're listening to right now.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. We had tweets at Beating the Book. Oh, people like that. Not enough is made of. Jeremy Gardner standing on the moving walkway. That's a big one.
A lot of people got a problem with that. You know what? Yeah. I feel like the moving walkway rules, though, aren't as clear in society.
Well, I also I'm surprised that it's gotten so many responses on that because that one, people sort of get it when you're moving. And they're like, oh, I should get out of the way.
I feel like it's all dictated by peer pressure. However it's moving on there. Like, when everybody's walking, you can't get on the thing and just stand still.
Trust the glove. Russell Wilson was raised in Virginia, his wife in Atlanta, Ravens. Wait a minute. You just went from Falcons to Skins and landed on Ravens. Okay.
Yeah, I cut Lamar Jackson.
John Balduzzi. He's not going to be a backup. John Balduzzi, Andiamo sort of in a bad spot for escalator shenanigans. It is exactly that escalator that I was referring to, and not Andiamo hours. But yes, I'm sure at night it happens all the time there. You're right. Dale J. Matecki, without a doubt, the conversation in the middle of the grocery aisle, and when you say, excuse me, they look at you like you're the problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to fully pull your cart over to what, if you want to scan whatever cereal you're looking at or something,
yeah,
that cart needs to be fully on the right side.
Sammy Slice 90. The flaw in your defensive player of the year argument, Gil, is that you penalize Rudy for playing more than Wemby. What happened to the best ability being availability? I wasn't penalizing him for it. I was just pointing out that all of Wembanyama's stats,
the stats difference,
are way yeah. bigger and he's played less. I mean, just to follow Vison. People with the right of a way to four-way stop waving me on. It's not nice. You aren't some traffic hero. You're ruining the flow, and you should just drive.
Oh, that's maybe my favorite one so far.
We'll stop on there. There's a spot right out here when I go home where the lights don't work on a big four-way on Charleston there. Accidents just barely missing every day.
Really?
Oh, because people don't know how to take their turns.
Yeah, wow.
But the traffic hero point is a great one.
I'm probably more likely that guy than anything.
We got a bunch of these, but I want to get to JV.
Like, if it's a tie, Gil, I'm the wave on guy. I'm like, I got the time. You go ahead.
This is even before we talked to JVT. This is from Michael Montesano, who was kind enough to be a guest yesterday on the show. He goes, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, that you can't win the MIP award because it's only your second year in the league. Well, might as well start the segment with Jonathan Von Tobel there. It's JVT, everybody, our senior NBA analyst. And, of course, co-host of VEASAN Primetime. Tim Murray. How you doing, John?
I'm good. Now, I could get started on the arbitrary rules of our society as well, because everything you listed are things that I'm very passionate about. I'll shout out something really quickly, though. I think it was the Phoenix airport that I was in. On the moving walkway, they had it divided in half for a standing side and a walking side. And I thought it was the most brilliant thing I've ever
seen. Okay, is that a great thing, or does that just prove how bad our society's gotten, though, that they felt the need to divide the walkway to clear up the rules for people?
I think that you're in a dark place in your life if you have to stand on the moving walkway to, like, you know, move you, like, whatever
Agreed.
Amount of our feet.
Agree.
So I think it says more about you if you're standing on the moving walkway, Kelly, than anything else. Who doesn't like a little speed boost? You know what I mean? It's great.
It's a speed boost. That's exactly what it
you
is.
Feel like you were walking incredibly fast. Yeah. It's like Dumb and Dumber, Jim Carrey, like, running in the car. No, nobody gets it.
I
get it.
Yeah, I get it. We just weren't that plussed by it.
Right, got it.
As opposed to non-plussed.
Got
right.
it.
John, I'm being told that most improved player chaps your hide. Why?
It is. So let's go back. Was it 2 years ago? I think it was the last year. Tyrese Maxey had an incredible sophomore year. Incredible. Like, the leap that he made from his rookie year to his second year was absolutely brilliant in terms of efficiency, in terms of scoring, everything across the board. He had been the most improved player. And yet at every turn, when you listen to NBA media, you heard that, you can't win most improved because you're expected to improve. Not to the degree in which Tyrese Maxey and others had shown improvement. Desmond Bane was there as well. It is the stupid, most arbitrary rule in the world that a second-year player cannot win most improved because they're expected to improve. Yes, sure, you're expected some level of improvement, but can we have a degree of nuance when looking at something like this and realizing that there's improvement, and then there's, oh, dear God, this guy has improved to, like, being a top guard in the NBA, and he looks like he's going to have a really promising career. It's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard, and now, like, this year and years beyond, you'll never get me back in because I had I'll use a famous gambling Twitter phrase that I saw. I had the market cornered, Gil. I had Desmond Bain. I had Tyrese Maxey. I was feeling great 2 years ago. And then he wasn't even a finalist. Think about that. His second year where he had made the leap that he did, he wasn't even a finalist. That was the thing that really chapped my hide, to use a phrase. I was very irritated. So that is how I feel about most improved.
You've had two most improved player winners in their second year in the past 30 years. Monte Ellis and Gilbert Arenas.
Yep.
Monte. Famous Bay Area character.
Yeah, 06, 07.
The entire Bay Area just couldn't believe that they traded him and allowed Steph Curry to be the guy. Okay, so wait, in that market then, who do you support? What do you have bets on then here?
I mean, so I've got Jonathan Kuminga at about like 25-1 or so. I think that he's probably not going to win this. We've seen his odds grow a little bit here, or excuse me, a shrink a little bit. Because I do think that the more I've watched, and he did have a big fourth quarter yesterday, Kobe White's doing enough now at this point where I think he's probably going to be pushing Tyrese Maxey, if not taking this thing from him at this point right now. I mean, Tyrese Maxey, again, it's for me, and this is where maybe I have a blind eye to this, right? I don't know how realistically he has this minus 550 price tag next to his name when he made this massive improvement from his first to second year. And now here we are. He's made some improvements statistically, but it was nowhere near the gap that it was from his first to his second. So how can we say he's the most improved when he made a wider margin of improvement earlier in his career? And then you get to the story of Coby White. Not only is it statistically a massive improvement from what we have seen from him, but look at where he was throughout his career. It seemed like he was on the verge, Gil, of the Bulls moving on from him. And now he has made himself an integral part of this rotation and in part of the starting lineup. I think that it's Coby White's award to lose. I think a lot of these markets, when we talk about most improved, and I'll bring this up because this is actually a perfect market to do it. A few years back, Jeremy Grant was minus 550 at one point to win most improved player. Julius Randle won that award, and he was 22-1 at that point in that season. I wouldn't take too much stock if you're looking at this market right now and thinking Maxey's got this covered. He should be the favorite, but I don't think minus 550. I think the way that Coby White has turned his career around, I think that he has a much better shot at winning this award than what the market would say right now.
Coby White is the Lowry Markkanen case of this year. Hey, I was good a couple years ago, then I dipped for a couple years, and now I'm back. So it's the Lowry Markkanen route if he goes and wins it.
You notice the one thing we have not said this year about this market is that before Lowry Markkanen won it, we were all like, no, it's typically a player who is known who then becomes great. It's never a person from relative obscurity who makes a huge leap. But now we don't say that anymore because Markkanen sort of broke that mold. If you're a basketball head, you know Markkanen, but I'm talking about the casual fan, right?
Yeah.
So we don't say that anymore. You didn't mention Jalen Williams in any of that. You don't think he's got a shot?
I mean, he might, but again, he's a second-year player, right? So, like, if I'm taking what we have seen here from media in the past, then are we really going to judge? We're going to count on the media who has told us the last few years you can't win it because you're expected to make this leap, right? From a first to a second year, that you're going to be able to win this award. So, I would say if you looked at it, sure, absolutely. But the fact that I've been burned by this multiple times now, I don't know why I would have faith that the media is going to change their mind at this point.
All it takes is for Windhorst or Bontemps to take up the case of any one of these guys in any one of these markets, and it will change overnight.
After my Shea tickets not getting home last year, if Maxey doesn't get home this year, I'm going to cry.
You're done.
I'm going to be a grown man crying on the ground.
JVT, what did you play tonight in the NBA?
So I've only got one so far. I laid it with Boston here in this matchup. Cleveland's got like nobody going here today. Let's see the injury report here for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Caris LeVert's questionable. Isaac Okoro's questionable. Donovan Mitchell is out. Max Strus is out. This is the walking wounded. They got punked by New York the other day. Josh Hart ran by the sideline and popped Donovan Mitchell's necklace. This team's got no confidence, and the Celtics are absolutely rolling. The only questionable right now is Kristaps Porzingis. So that's the only thing on the card right now. Boston Celtics. I'm sifting through a bunch of other injury information because there's a lot of it on the card here today.
Yeah, surprisingly, I saw Jaylen Brown pop up too, JVT, but I'm on Boston with you as well. Everything you just said, I think great breakdown. Cavs, no Donovan Mitchell, completely different team. A bunch of other guys questionable are out tonight. I'm with you on that one already.
Yep. 30 seconds, John. Any college hoops bet that we should be aware of?
No, nothing yet. I was in terms of like futures and whatnot, and nothing today. But I'll be going through the card. I haven't really sat down to look at college hoops today yet.
Okay. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, at MeJVT. That's where you can follow him on X, our senior NBA analyst. I like the passion, JVT. Appreciate that very much.
I'm a passionate individual. This is what I'm here for.
I agree with you. And by the way, has the weight loss thing begun? Is that going well so far?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to reveal. I don't want to give Dustin anything, but just quiet confidence. Real G's move in silence like lasagna, Gil. A great philosopher once said it.
He said, I don't want to give Dustin anything. Yeah, can't give him any info. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Dustin, 375, JVT 300, a body mass index challenge.
That's
what they're looking for. All right, we'll come back. NFL exact is never too early. That's next. This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5, get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets. If your first bet loses, download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, best listeners in the game. The best. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Funny, witty. Rick Ollier. Speaking of someone with a Wemby Defensive Player of the Year ticket, I think this thing is in the bag for Wemby. As long as he doesn't do something silly like throw 4 interceptions this weekend against the Ravens, I think we're good. Hashtag let's ride. Oh, man. A. Brown. Gil on Wemby Defensive Player of the Year is the equivalent is to Nick Gates Comeback Player of the Year for Jason. No. Come on. That was still the worst thing ever. Jason for weeks touting an offensive lineman for a Comeback Player of the Year.
That is a great tweet, though. I'm going to try to figure out who the Nick Gates is of that award this year. It's not Wemby, but we have to go further down.
The Nick Gates crusade was the most irrational of all things ever. Jordan Pagelin, always struck me as amazing, the people with the audacity to think they have the right to get on the elevator before anyone gets off. Like, where they're going is so important that no one else could possibly slow them down.
I hear you. This is what I felt so bad about a couple weeks ago. I just wasn't thinking. I wasn't thinking because I hate the people that do it, too. I know.
Kelly Bidlin, horrible human being.
Yeah.
David Shalafour, people stopping at the bottom of the escalator while voting for Gobert for Defensive Player of the Year.
That's great.
Joe Sway. I hope I'm saying that right. You keep mentioning how Defensive Player of the Year should be Wemby because of being the better stats, though on a worse team, but everyone just accepted Lamar as MVP when his stats were half what Allen produced but had a way better defense. Isn't it the same? Oh, my head hurts.
I was going to say, I want to say great point, but my head hurts. If we've not said it enough, it's already tough enough to actually handicap human beings voting on these awards, besides us going to compare it to other sports.
Isn't this the biggest takeaway from all of this?
Yeah.
Is that none of us can possibly ascertain what people are thinking on this.
Can make great cases for a bunch of these guys.
James Sott. I'm with Gil here. If Flacco can win Comeback Player of the Year beating Lazarus, then I have to sprinkle a little on Wemby.
Oh, man.
Lazarus. Biblical references.
For as much as I hate on Twitter and sports betting Twitter, the Filipowski tweets about and comparing him to Mar Hamlin have just been amazing the past couple weeks. Everybody out there, keep it up. I'm just out there, Comeback Player of the Year of all sports.
John Balduzzi. Poor escalator etiquette prompted me to stop using Metro and drive to work. Do you know how long it takes to drive from Clarendon to the Senate side? 8 miles in 1 hour and 9 minutes. Totally worth it.
Yeah, that's
little
great.
DMV humor for those of you of the district.
That's a good
Maryland,
one.
Virginia. Spence, not enough is made of if someone parks right next to your car in an empty parking lot. Oh, God, yeah. Driving motor vehicle has a whole subsection to this thing. Of not enough is made of.
I don't know that I've once in my life, like, that's happened to me and I've thought, like I don't remember that ever happening to me. I think I would think it's weird if we're talking just like a wide open parking lot, but...
Rules for society. Leaving a semi-truck gap between you and the car in front of you so I can't get in the turn lane pull-up. Just in general, walking, driving, shopping always create a passing lane.
Yeah, you're right. Cars, we could go down. I mean, turn signals. Nobody uses a turn signal. It drives me insane.
Oh. Mr. Somebody, people who crowd the baggage claim. You aren't more important than everyone else. Wait until you see your bag.
Oh, that's a good one, too. That's a good. Yeah, the guy who races to get to baggage claim, he knows he has the shortest distance from where the bags come out to where he needs to go exit-wise.
Oh, bro, we could do five. We could do 5 hours
you really,
on this.
Really, really could.
And then John Anastasio, who apparently wanted to get serious and said, has Creighton qualified with the win over Marquette?
Why are you ruining a good time, John, with good questions?
I guess we're ending the tweets this segment with that. Creighton did win their third game against top 10% RPI with that win, but they're still just barely on the outside looking in and adjusted, I want to say, defensive efficiency. But at least removing that part of the criteria, they are good to go. They can still qualify here momentarily.
Yeah, 22nd.
That's the big thing with that formula again. We are looking like we're going to have the most ever teams qualify. And the whole point of that exercise, again, is for such a mayhem of a tournament, such pandemonium that March Madness always is, picking a winner, an eventual winner, often is a very simple thing to do with that formula. Maybe not the case this year. Super Bowl exactas, Kelly.
How awesome is this? DraftKings already has these posted.
This is fantastic. It's March. We got Super Bowl exactas. The short shots... The Niners to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs to beat the Niners. Both of those are 25-1. Interested?
No.
You're not?
No.
Kind of am. San Francisco over Buffalo, San Francisco over Baltimore, 35-1. San Francisco strewn all over the top part of this market. Baltimore over San Francisco, 35-1. Buffalo over San Francisco, 40-1. And then it finally goes away from San Francisco, starting at 45-1. Kansas City over Detroit. I mean, these go on. How many, like, do they, can't have every possible combination, right? Like, they don't have, you know.
That's a good question.
They don't have Carolina beating Tennessee.
Let me pull it up. They usually, I think they usually do when they post these.
They don't have enough room for the zeros for something like that.
You would think, but let's see. We have at the bottom of the board, the Cardinals over the Titans. It's so many zeros, like I can't even.
Okay.
That would be 10,000 to 1, I believe I'm looking at.
That's it? All right. Which of these would you actually consider betting? Again, okay. We are not in a DraftKings jurisdiction. We couldn't bet DraftKings even if we were. But if these were available to us right now, what would you bet?
I think there are – I don't know if I'd be betting them today, Gil, but I think I'll be attacking these again preseason like I did last year. It didn't really work out for me last year. What I did was picked – I thought there was the few NFC teams, right, which I decided to do was go with the route of tie a bunch in with Philly and Dallas. That didn't work out as well. With the San Francisco being the one I left alone.
What did JVT said? I have the market cornered. Remember what I said before the championship? I was like, I have every combination except for Kansas City beating San Francisco.
Yeah. Now, I think we've maybe swung a little far towards San Francisco on these. And if you really have, I mean, if you like any other NFC team, holy hell, are you getting a big number on whatever you want to tie it in with. We're all go to here, though, Gil, is a team that you and I discussed yesterday, Cincinnati, with almost anything.
Yes. So right? That was going to be mine.
Cincinnati with the Niners, and if Cincinnati with, you know, anybody else you want to talk about, I think you're getting big, big-time numbers.
100% where I'm going with this. Cincinnati over San Francisco and San Francisco over Cincinnati, both are 50-1. We talked yesterday about the Bengals plus 175 to win the division. I'll be making that bet today.
Yep, me too.
I'm going to have so many Bengals bets. And, yeah, I probably would have this exact in pocket. I probably would. I'll have this happen in my account all year and then just wait for it to happen.
I mean, with those two teams right now, too, like, the biggest thing with some of these is some of these teams could massively change, right? So, like, you could, it'd be really good betting-wise, you know, from a betting perspective, if you're picking on some teams that you think, what do we keep saying, that we think their odds are going to shorten between now and whenever the season starts. If you wanted to, you know, mess with some of those teams in here, okay, you're getting way longer of a number than when you're going to get when the season starts in this same market. So I'd be okay with that.
Let me ask you this, though. Of the 12 combinations you posted here at VSiN, VSiN.com, the one that sticks out as being the most curious to me is Kansas City over Green Bay is only 60-1. Now, I just mentioned San Francisco and Cincinnati combinations are 50-1. I listen, you know me. I love Jordan Love. Talked about the clipboard thing ad nauseum. Yep. I had a Matt LaFleur Coach of the Year pre-flop ticket last year. I like the Packers. I like Jordan Love. I never bought into the fact that he sucked once you hold that clipboard for so many years. But Kansas City over Green Bay is only 60-1?
Dude, this is kind of what I brought up yesterday when we looked at those divisions.
Someone must have bet that or something.
I think there is a betting market overreaction to the Packers right now of what we're seeing. And where I mainly think we're seeing it is in the awards markets where Jordan Love and LaFleur are at. And in this, but that's why we brought up when we were talking about the NFC North yesterday. Okay, if you love Green Bay so much, go hammer it over 2-1 in the division. That's what I'm betting, not any of this.
Because
I'm with you. In what world do they deserve to be the same odds?
They
like
no,
some of
close.
These other matchups.
But talking. Honestly, if this were available, the whole point of when we do these markets is, okay, you know, sometimes it is available to us. We'll tell you when we won't make a bet. Those make for pretty lame segments, but like the quarterbacks ending up on a certain team. How many times do I end up saying, I'm not betting any of this because I don't know. I don't have any inside information. But something like this, I would actually bet the two Cincinnati-San Franciscos. I really would.
So, like, if you're high, let's say you are, I mean, you're high on the Cowboys. You get 150-1 on Bengals over the Cowboys.
Yeah, if you're high on the Cowboys, sure. You had a lot of Cowboys ones last year, didn't you?
Yes, I did, Gil.
As I recall. Dan Le Batard is next on DK. We're coming back. We will talk to Kai McKeon. Oh, Kai's joining us from Three Man Weave. We'll go through the whole conference tournament roll call like we did yesterday, this week's anyway, which markets are posted for over at DraftKings. We'll do that with him on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.